Good to be with you.
Be here. My first time here. Good. I like to visit Alliance churches when I can, and I've been around. My wife and I, this spring, it'll be 24 years we've been married, and not long after that, so for 23 years, we've been in ministry with the CMA. New York and Ohio, we've also been missionaries in Malawi and South Sudan and Kenya, most recently. And so we've come a long, circuitous route to be here in Washington, D.C., but we're happy to be here with you. So, blessings. Let me just pray before we study God's Word. Lord, we need you. We need to hear from you. Your Word is living and active, but our hearts are not always receptive. And so I pray that you, by your Spirit, would soften our hearts to be receptive to your Word. Give us ears to hear what you have to say to your church. In Jesus' name, amen. So in 2010, my wife and I visited, at the time, Sudan. South Sudan wasn't in existence yet. So we visited Sudan in 2010, and the door opened for us to be able to go and minister there in very rural South Sudan, which was just, in 2011, gained independence from Sudan. And so there was a lot of excitement. Here was a nation that had been full of war for decades and decades and decades. So there was a lot of excitement as we headed there, and an opportunity to rebuild this country, both physically and spiritually. And so we began raising support, and if any of you here have ever raised support, we weren't going with the CMA this particular time, so we were raising support. And again, if any of you have ever done that, it very seldom goes exactly how you think it's going to go or in the time that you think it's going to go. And so we didn't head to South Sudan until about 2014, the fall of 2014. And we were excited. We were ready to settle down and live the rest of our lives ministering in rural South Sudan. If you've never been there, which if you have been there, that's pretty impressive, because very few people have visited South Sudan. It's a hard place to live. There is no electricity in the whole country. There are maybe 30 miles of paved roads in the whole country, and they tend to all be in the capital of Juba. It is a very, very difficult country. The weather, it's really hot. There's not enough food. But we had settled in. And we knew God had us there. 6 months in, war breaks out again. And we have to evacuate in emergency fashion, get on a plane, evacuate, and we escape to Nairobi, Kenya. Now, I had never been to Nairobi, Kenya. I didn't plan on ever living in Nairobi, Kenya. But here we were. Even though I knew for sure God had called us to South Sudan to give our lives to the people, the Sudanese people. And here we were, 6-7 months later, evacuated. And we didn't know at the time, never to return. And you say, God, what? I mean, 2010, we heard you very clearly. Go to South Sudan, and we left everything in order to do that. And here we are, and it's 6 months, and now war breaks out, and we're evacuated, and we're dumped here in Nairobi. What are we going to do? And eventually, as we realized we're going to stay in Nairobi, Kenya, an opportunity opened up to pastor at an international church in Nairobi. I went through a process that was difficult of still saying, God, why are we here? I mean, Nairobi's great. Kenya's a beautiful country, but there's so many missionaries and Christians here. God, why? This isn't what I felt called to. And I struggled with that. Then I finally heard God say, listen, don't I have the right to have you do whatever I want you to do? Well, I don't want to hear that, though. But, even though as stubborn as I can be, I eventually realized, okay, God, you're in this, I'm going to submit to this, and really spent the last 5 years in Kenya really enjoying ministering in this international community. One of the funny things is, I met the Wongs. They came and visited our church in Kenya before I ever heard of Washington International Church. So we met. The reason we met is it turns out that one of the former elders of Washington International Church, who works for the World Bank, got a new assignment in Nairobi, Kenya. Came to our church. He and I became good friends. We would sit and talk. He would actually ask me questions, and we would pray about Washington International Church before I had ever really knew what it was. Well, then fast forward, and our term was ending last year, and we really discerned that God was calling us back to the U.S. to pastor in the U.S., and the door opened to go to Washington International Church, and in June of this last year, that's where we came. And we're glad to be here. We loving Washington, D.C. We're loving the church. It's a great fit for us. But in that whole thing, and even before that, we had to ask questions about the process that God takes us through when we're discovering His will and what He wants us to do. Sometimes the process of God is confusing, right? And maybe you have that experience in this church. This church has some history, right? As every church does. And maybe it hasn't been a straight line the whole time. Very seldom is God's plan, are God's plans for us, do they go like this? They tend to go all over the place. Now, God's in control of that plan and He knows it well, but He doesn't necessarily let us know it at the time. And it can become confusing. It can be really easy to doubt. God, where are you in this? And when it comes down to the key question that I must ask is, do I trust God in the process? Whatever that process is, maybe it's for yourself and discerning what God has for you in the future, and maybe it's for this church and what God has for it. Can we trust God that He is who He says He is and will do what He says He will do, which He will guide us and lead us? Can we trust Him? Now this morning I want to read out of Acts. Acts chapter 16. The story of Paul. And you know Paul's life. He's traveling and traveling and traveling in these missionary journeys. Paul is on his second missionary journey in Acts chapter 16. And I want to read verses 1 through 10. Acts chapter 16, 1 through 10. Paul came to Derbe and then to Lystra, where a disciple named Timothy lived, whose mother was Jewish and a believer, but whose father was a Greek. The believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. Paul wanted to take him along on the journey, so he circumcised him because of the Jews who lived in the area, for they all knew that his father was a Greek. As they traveled from town to town, they delivered the decision reached by the apostles and elders in Jerusalem for the people to obey. So the churches were strengthened in the faith and grew daily in numbers. Paul and his companions traveled through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been kept by the Holy Spirit from preaching the word in the province of Asia. When they came to the border of Mysia, and they tried to enter Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. So they passed by Mysia and went down to Troas. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. I have a map, I think, if we can put that up on the screen. This is a map of this journey that Paul was on. Now, if you look up, if I had a pointer, I could point up there, but you see there above Cyprus is that Derby. It started, that's kind of where he was at the beginning of this passage. Okay? Now really, he started all the way down in Jerusalem. He came up, he went through this area. They're traveling through this region of Galatia. And then you see how the arrow goes up, and there's that Phrygia, there's Mysia, Bithynia. They had heard from the Holy Spirit. Paul was really good at listening to the Holy Spirit and obeying. And so here they were going together, they were going up in this area, they knew God had told them. Oh, okay, that has a pointer. Yeah. So they knew God had told them. Go up to this area. And so it says in there they wanted to go into this area of Mysia. They wanted to enter into Bithynia because they knew God had told them to go. And what happened? They got there. And it said the Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let them enter. I mean, I can imagine, you know, sometimes we think of Paul and we put him on this pedestal of just, he was this robot that just kind of went and just did whatever and never had any emotion or feeling about it. I'm sure Paul's saying, wait a minute. Here we are, you know, going through Galatia. Galatia's kind of a rough area. You know, Rome was in charge, but there was a lot of difficulty there. And so he's going up, he's suffering, and he's saying, but I know God wants me to do this, and I've heard the Spirit tell me. And so here I go up to this, you know, here I go up to this area, and now all of a sudden it says the Spirit won't let him enter. And I'm sure he's saying, God, what's going on here? So it said they passed by and they went to Troas, here, right on the coast. Okay, God, we don't understand, but here we are. And while he was in Troas, he has a vision. It's a vision of a man from Macedonia that says, come over. Because what was Paul's calling, remember, to take the gospel to the Gentiles? And here he was in this little port of Troas, and he has this vision from a man from Macedonia, come over. So Paul says, okay. And what does it say? The man says, come over to Macedonia and help us. And Paul had seen the vision. What? They got ready at once and left. When we were contemplating our call to go on the mission field, it's not a call you should take lightly. It's a call you should take seriously, but surely not lightly. And I remember going through this process and saying to God, you know, is this really what you want me to do? God, I really want to hear from you. How do I know? And those are some of the questions that we have in these things. What is this whole process about? God, our life, what has this been about? And God, can I trust you? And I'm sure Paul had those same internal conflicts going on. There are things that we learned in this process. When we were originally called to go on the mission field, it was 2003. It was a process to get there. And God is in the process. And I want to look at that from this passage. I want to look at some things that we can learn from Paul as he followed the Holy Spirit. Paul followed the Spirit's leading. And when we follow the Spirit's leading, we can be confident. And so I want to look at some things that were going on here. The first thing that we can look at about Paul and following the Spirit's leading is Paul was already being actively obedient. Here he was. They were traveling up through Galatia. They were preaching the gospel. He came along. He met this young man, Timothy, who he brought along. And you know, Timothy eventually is. Paul trains him up to be a pastor. He is being obedient. He's going around in this area of Galatia. He is listening to the Spirit. He is boldly proclaiming the gospel everywhere he goes. Paul was not sitting around waiting for the Spirit's leading. He was actively being obedient already to what he knew God had called him to do. So, not long after our initial call to the mission field in 2003, we were at district conference. We were in Ohio at the time, and we were at the central district of the Christian Missionary Alliance. We were at district conference, And there was a pastor there, and he was a Jordanian pastor, very bold evangelist. And we were out at lunch, and we were at Olive Garden, I think. And the waiter had come up and was taking our order, and my friend had just said, hey, how you doing? And you know, we're getting ready to pray for our meal. Is there anything we can pray for you about? And the guy just really opened up and gave us some prayer requests. And it was just one of those moments where you're like, wow, huh. You just don't think, you know, so often we just go through life and we don't look for opportunities like that. And I remember very much saying to him, you know what, I wish I could be like that. I wish I could be more like that. And I'm thankful for him because instead of just kind of saying, oh, you know, whatever, and kind of blowing that comment off like we most of the time do, he said, you know what, I'm sick of hearing that. Kind of made me step back. He goes, you have every ability to be like that, you just don't want to. That was hard to hear. But it was reality. Here I was, God was, you know, preparing our hearts and calling us to be missionaries somewhere, but the reality was I wasn't very faithful with where I was at. And just because God was calling me somewhere, it wasn't going to automatically now, just because I arrive in a foreign country, I'm not going to all of a sudden be faithful. I needed to be faithful now. And it really convicted my heart and made us go through some real serious changes there. You see, Paul was already being actively obedient while he received the call to go to Macedonia. He was already being faithful with the light that the Holy Spirit had already given to him. And so this morning, what about you? Individually, are you growing in the Lord? Are you spending time listening for the Holy Spirit for us? Listen, I've been in this area now long enough to realize that busyness is our great enemy. And the enemy will keep us so busy that we never actually have time. My fear for the church is we wouldn't have the time to hear the call to Macedonia anymore, because we're so busy. I know that can sum up our lives. Are we being obedient? And how about as a church? Are we practicing holiness? Is that something that's important to us? Are we being obedient to the things God already gave to us? I don't know where God wants to call this church. I believe God wants to do great things through all of His churches. And I believe that is His will. But we can fight His will. And so for us, what is God having this church do now? Are you being faithful with the things God already gave you? Are you sharing Jesus? Here's one that's going to hit home, because your people, and people are people everywhere in the world. How are your relationships together? Part of the experience God gave me in before we headed overseas for years is I pastored for 15 years in the U.S. and I would go into redevelopment churches. These were churches that were maybe at one point had really, you know, had their glory days, but they were long gone. Some of those churches had splits. There was a lot of fighting. They had lost their point, and they were getting ready to die. I was asked to go in and fix them. Fun job for a young guy. But, you know, we saw God's hand in that. We saw a lot of things happen. And we saw churches repent and turn direction and start heading in the right way. But it required obedience on their part. What is this church's history? Are there relationships that need to be made right? We can talk about the future, but if we're not willing to obey with where we are right now, there is no future. So I want to challenge you. I've walked through churches that have gone to death's door. Don't go there. Don't go there out of stubbornness. Repent now. Make relationships right now. Deal with the things that need to be dealt with now. Begin sharing Jesus now. Don't wait until you hire your next pastor. Start now. You see, Paul was being actively obedient when he received the call to Macedonia. Second thing we can learn from Paul is Paul was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. Paul knew the voice of the shepherd. John chapter 10. Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, Do we know His voice? When we see things that Paul was led up to this area, but then the Spirit didn't let him go, how did he know that? I mean, did a guy come up and just hit Paul in with a 2x4? I mean, is that how Paul was somehow sensitive to the Spirit? He knew what the Spirit was saying. Do we? Again, our original calling to missions was 2003. We were at our district camp called Beulah Beach. We were at a missions conference. There were missionaries speaking. Heather and I had always been willing to go overseas, but we just never really specifically felt God was asking us to. We went and we were hearing it was actually a father and his daughter missionaries speaking. And God spoke so strongly to us. Separately. Spoke to Heather, spoke to me, same thing. All I knew is when I left that service, I knew that I had to go out and just say to Heather, listen, I don't know what the Holy Spirit was saying to you, but we have to get ready to go. She said, actually, that's exactly what he was saying to me. It's just you know how emotional I am, so I wasn't going to say anything. And we started going through process. I'd like to say I'm always that sensitive to hearing the Spirit's leading. I'm not. But sometimes He gets through. Are we sensitive to hearing God's calling? Do we know His voice? Again, individually. Do you know the Spirit's voice? Again, do you even have time to hear the Spirit's voice? As a church, are you seeking the Lord together? One of the things that concerns me in a lot of churches in America is we don't pray together anymore. And yet the Spirit was given to the body of Christ. And it's our job together to hear the Spirit's leading. Yes, individually too. But when God is leading His church, are we hearing His voice? Do we gather together? Do we spend time seeking the Lord and saying, what do you have for us? You have major things coming forward. As you spend time figuring out your vision and what's going on and who's going to lead and what. These are major things. Are they important enough to spend significant time praying together? On your face together saying, God, listen. If you've been in church long enough, you know what it looks like when we don't hear from the Spirit. You know the consequences of flesh-led churches. I've spent too much of my life going into those churches to try to fix it. We don't have to go there. If we would spend time saying, Spirit, what do you want with your church? So let me encourage you, challenge you, whatever it may be. Seek the Lord. Paul knew the shepherd's voice. And so when he called him to go, Paul went. And then when he got there and he was confused because that door closed, he was still saying, but where are we now? What do you have for me now? And it was then that he heard that call to Macedonia and went. Paul heard the Spirit's leading. And I promise you, the Spirit may call you to places that you don't expect. Or maybe don't even want. He may call you to do things that are so uncomfortable. Matter of fact, I guarantee you He will. If He is calling you to only things you're comfortable with, then I would challenge whether it's the Spirit leading you or not. Because He calls us to these places that are beyond us. So Paul was already actively obedient. He was sensitive to the Spirit's leading. And thirdly, Paul's whole concern in it all was about God's glory and the gospel being proclaimed. That was Paul's concern. What does it say there in verse 10? Concluding that after Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Because that was the whole point. If we aren't as churches, as individuals, if we aren't about sharing Jesus with people, then what is the point? The gospel didn't come into our hearts so that we could just keep it here. If that's what the gospel has become, then we haven't recognized the gospel. The founder of our mission, we went with a mission when we were in South Sudan, he used to always say, the gospel must go somewhere. The gospel doesn't just come in to sit there. And if we've grasped the gospel, it must go somewhere. Again, one of the things that I've seen, and I've been in 4 redevelopment churches, and one of the things that I've seen, what the one common denominator in every dying church, it wasn't that they didn't have Sunday school class, it wasn't that they didn't have preaching and worship, it wasn't that they didn't have fellowship lunches, and even it wasn't that they didn't have prayer meetings. The one thing they weren't about was intentionally sharing Jesus with people. And as soon as that was lost, the church's point was lost, and it eventually died. See, Paul's whole concern was people need to know Jesus. Paul let nothing get in the way of his calling to bring God's glory. When we were serving in Malawi for a year, we were in a church service. I was getting ready to get up to preach, and all of a sudden, kind of hard to explain it. We were meeting in this cement room, no windows, anything like that. And so we were sitting there, and all of a sudden, an entourage of what looked like really important people kind of marched into the service and sat right in the front. I didn't know who they were. It was like, something's not right here. So anyways, I get up to preach, and the Spirit so prompted me. Like, I'm not necessarily always, I mean, I might be bold in preaching, but this was maybe a little bit. I was preaching that day on the glory of God, and the Spirit prompted me to point right to them. I was asking the congregation, why are you here? Is it for God's glory or yours? And I pointed right to them and said, I mean, why are you here today? Or is it for God's glory or for yours? To these visitors. Well, it turns out they stand up and they say, well, this is why we're here. He was a politician. He was going around to every public gathering that day. And he was giving everybody 10,000, well, kwacha, it wasn't actually that much, it might have been $100. In order to just be friends and remember me on voting day. It was an interesting service that day. They left, and I challenged the church. I said, either give the money back to them or burn it here in front of everybody. Because this whole service was not about God's glory, it was about His glory, and if it's going to become about somebody else's glory, then this church will fail. Unfortunately, the church said, well, but you know, we have these needs. And they used it. That's a pretty extreme case. But the question still has to be asked. Why are we here? Why is this church here? Is it about you, or is it about God and others? That's a really important question to ask. You see, Paul, as he was actively obedient, as he was sensitive to the Spirit's leading, and as he was so concerned about God's glory and about the gospel, Paul was then confident in the things that came in his life. Paul was able to trust the process. Even though I'm sure he was confused. Yeah, Holy Spirit, you told me to go to Bithynia. Yeah, I did. But now I'm calling you somewhere else. I heard somebody give a message on this as we were struggling with, but God, we thought you were calling us to South Sudan. And I heard a pastor give a message, and he made this point, and he said, and notice it from the map here. Paul started here, went up here. What direction was he heading? He was heading towards Macedonia the whole time. He didn't know it. The pastor said, maybe Paul never would have gone to Macedonia if he wasn't heading that direction already. We spent 4 years raising support to go to South Sudan. We knew God had us there. I mean, it was a hard 4 years, and we got there, and those first 6 months were insane. And then all of a sudden, just as we were about to say, okay, we're here, we're learning how to live, war, we have to go to Nairobi. God, why? While in Nairobi, we end up working with the Hindu population. There are a lot of Indian people in Nairobi, and our church was maybe about a third Indian from Hindu background. I never knew about Indian culture. Matter of fact, I had always thought I would work in a Muslim community, and here I was now in a Hindu community. This was nothing I ever knew. I wouldn't have chosen. I'll honestly admit, even after 5 years, Nairobi isn't my favorite city in the world. It's very stressful. God, why? This isn't where you called me. And then after 5 years, God very clearly said, and now it's time for you to go back to the U.S. But God, you're giving me whiplash. I don't understand what's going on here. But we've settled here in Washington, D.C. We've gone through the process to be pastor at Washington International Church. And we can now look and say, God, there's a good chance I never would have been a pastor at New City Fellowship, the International Church in Nairobi, unless I first went to South Sudan. And because of my experience at International Church in Nairobi and meeting different folks, I probably never would have come to Washington International Church. And so, God, you were in the process the whole time. That doesn't mean that South Sudan and Nairobi were just stepping stones to something greater, but they were part of His plan and part of His preparation for where we are now. And so I think it's important for this church and you as individuals to ask yourself, what is your history? Was God in it? Can God use the things that have gone on in your life to lead you for where He wants you to go now? How can we learn from church conflict? You can learn a lot from church conflict. You can learn how to repent. You can learn humility. You can learn a lot about spiritual warfare, about forgiveness. There's a lot of things we can learn. If we really believe that God causes all things to work together for our good, if we really believe that, yes, even the difficult things, even the things that were our fault, God can still use them. If we humble ourselves and say, God, here I am. What do you have? You can trust God. You can trust the process. Be encouraged. You see, our call to D.C. required obedience, required listening, and a concern for His glory. It required us to trust the process. I pray that for you. I pray that where you are now as a church, you trust God. You trust the process that He has you in. I pray that you are actively obedient. I pray you're taking time to listen to the Holy Spirit's leading. And I pray that your great concern is God's glory and the furthering of the gospel. You get those things right, this church is going to be all right. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor Wallace, for sharing God's word with us.